Praise the Lord and good evening. This is Tuesday, March the 9th in the year 2021. And this is Bishop Horace Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. And I want to welcome you, my brothers and sisters, to our weekly Pastoral Connect, Bible study and prayer, where we hear God's word and we pray in his power. We know that whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them and we shall have them. But the epistle of John says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. We are going to continue our journey in the word of God. I like to liken it to a journey, to associate it to a journey, because it's unfolding. There's things to learn that you haven't learned, things to experience that you've not experienced. And in the midst of all of this, the discovery is unending. The excitement is there. The presence of the Lord is there. And there's always something God has to reveal, something he has to share. And so tonight, let's get into the word. Let's look to the Lord for a moment of prayer before we go forward in the study and then going into our corporate prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor your presence tonight and we thank you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. Thank you that it is that goodness and mercy at work that anchors us so that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to behold your beauty and to inquire in your temple. Lord, tonight, inquiring minds want to know. We want to know what your word has to say about things. We want to know what your spirit has to say unto the church. Oh God, tonight, inquiring minds want to know how to progress through the pain, how to persevere in this year of purpose, power, prayer, and praise, how that it shall be done in 21. We thank you for the directive, and even now we thank you for the strategy. We bless you. We give you glory. We bless your holy name and ask that you would even move on this line tonight. Somebody is here seeking your direction. Somebody's here seeking your wisdom. Someone is here seeking a word from the Lord. And we know that you have a word for us. As we commit ourselves into your hands, give us a holy unction. Activate your power on another level within us, Lord. Teach through us by your power. Even as we share your word is powerful. Your word is life. It's sharp. It's quick. And we thank you right now, Lord. Ask your blessings upon all these that are here with us and those that will listen to this recording hereafter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome, everyone. We love the Lord tonight, and we know that God has something in store for all of us. I want to start off tonight by, again, making note of those who have submitted their three goals to be completed between now and May 31st. I'm glad to report that the list is getting longer. 24 names are currently on the list, and I want to quickly read off these names to memorialize these bold believers, these obedient followers, these obedient members of our ministry that have embraced the charge and have heeded the call and have submitted their goals. I am expecting God to do something great this year, and we cannot just talk about getting it done in 21 without doing something in 21. Amen. And so tonight, I'm going to quickly read the list of those who have submitted their goals. And if there's anybody's name that I might have left off, please let me know. I certainly want to make sure I've got all the names on the list. Sister Lynette Alexander, Sister Linda Cody Brown, Sister Claudia Combs, Junior Missionary Yulette Davis, Sister Shirley Elliott, Sister Deborah Fowler, Sister Jennifer Green, Sister Michelle Hobby, Junior Missionary Sharice Jones, Senior Missionary Selena Marbury, Bishop Horace C. Michael, Lady Tania Michael, Sister Nicole Stevenson, Sister Denise Sutton, Mother Audrey Thompson, Senior Missionary Bernadette Tinley, Sister Michelle Tewitt, Junior Deacon Paul Austin, Sister Kiana Green, Sister Tanya Hinton, Brother Chase Hinton, Minister Hezekiah Tinley, Brother Keaton Donraj, Minister Seth Tinley. Thank you for submitting your goals to me. If you have not submitted your goals yet, shame on you. And those of you that have submitted them, congratulations. And I want you to be encouraged. I believe in you. And I know that as God has put it in our spirit to give you this instruction, to guide you in this experience, that I say proudly and prophetically, it shall be done in 21 in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to go right back into our lesson part two. Last week, we talked about how God wants us to understand that the presence of pain is no reason for you to think you can't make progress. The presence of pain is no reason for you to think that you cannot make progress, progressing through the pain. Sometimes it's hard to conceive of this, because a lot of times the pain is overwhelming, and sometimes we even allow it to become a crutch and an obstacle and a hindrance. It can't have as much power over you than you allow it to have. And as we go on through the scriptures, it's not that there is an insensitivity to what people are going through, but there is a reality to understand that in this life, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. But he went on to say, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer in the face of tribulation is what Jesus said. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. My God, I'm speaking tonight. If you're listening to this, the Lord has already decreed that you are an overcomer. You're not here because of failure. You're here because of purpose. And no matter what the enemy will try, no matter what even your own emotions will try to seduce you into a direction that takes you away from God, the devil is a liar, progressing through the pain. We're going to continue on our list, and I pray that our participants that have taken on verses from last week, I think I see just about everybody on the line right now. We ended at number six. Verse number six was Isaiah 43, verse number two. Tonight, we're going to pick it up at verse number seven from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. I will announce the verse so that those that are on the phone that are not able to see what's being shared on the screen will know exactly where we are. And for the benefit of those that are on the phone that may have not been here with us last week, I will read the first six verses so that if you have not written them down, you know what they are and you can read them later on. Verse number one was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. The second verse was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. The third verse was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Again, that was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The fourth verse was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. The fifth verse was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And then last verse that we read last week, verse number 6, was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 2. Let us go forward now. For the remaining verses, we've got nine more verses to go through. We've got our readers designated, and those that are Looking at the screen, you can see who you are next to the verse that you volunteered last week to read. And so tonight, we are going to go right into it. Those of you that are readers, you can unmute yourself at the appropriate time and begin reading once we give you the indication to start. At this time, we're going to ask Sister Fowler, if she would, to unmute and share with us tonight, James chapter 1, verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
It's extremely important. Thank you so much, Sister Fowler. It's important for you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that whatever we're facing, it cannot stop you from accomplishing what God has ordained for you. It cannot. And I'm going to say that one more time. It cannot stop you from accomplishing and attaining what God has for you. When you are being tried by the fires of temptation, know this, that as you hold fast to God, that there is a reward in the end. The crown of life is God, is one of the five crowns that believers can receive at the Bema seat of Christ at the rapture of the church. Let me give you a bit of chronology here to put it in context. There are five different judgments, and they differ in four specific respects as to subject, place, time, and result. This crown of life is going to be given at the time after the rapture of the church. The judgments are the judgment of sin. Sin was on the cross. The consequence was the death of Jesus Christ, justification for the sinner. It happened at Calvary. And thank God for Jesus shedding his blood that we can be free. That was the first judgment. The next judgment is the judgment of sin in the believer. The Bible tells us that we ought to examine ourselves. And when we come to communion, that is one of the most recognizable times when the congregation is admonished for this experience of self-evaluation, not to condemn, but to examine ourselves and to make sure that we are walking right with God. It is most common at the time of Holy Communion because that is a sacred moment where we renew our commitment and our covenant agreement as disciples with Jesus Christ. As often as we take of what has been left for us, the bread representing his broken body, the cup of the fruit of the vine representing his shed blood, as oft as we eat of that bread and drink of that cup, we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. That's not just for the sake of history. That's for the sake of covenant agreement and continuity. Lest I forget. We don't ever want to forget what Jesus has done for us. And so it is during that very sacred time that we pause. Coming out of our corporate worship, we pause and go into a space in our hearts and our minds where we are not assembled for fellowship, but we are assembled for discernment, to discern the body and blood of Jesus. And so we examine ourselves as believers. We don't condemn ourselves because God is not asking you to condemn yourself. He's just asking you to examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. Not that this is a license to sin, because Romans chapter 6 speaks to us and says, how shall we continue in said sin? How can we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? We don't continue in sin. That's crazy. The Holy Spirit is a keeper, and we don't talk or we don't preach and promote a weak salvation. The salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ is the power of God revealed in us from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But even though we are in this flesh and filled with the Spirit of God, You've got to choose whether you live right or not. The devil can't make you sin. But sometimes the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so we examine ourselves and we ask for forgiveness during that time. That's the judgment of sin in the believer. That can happen any place. It can happen any time. And God will chasten us, whom he loves, he will chasten so that we are not condemned with the world in terms of the tribulation and eternal separation by being put into the lake of fire and spend the rest of eternity there. The third judgment is the judgment of the conduct or works of the believer. And that will occur after the rapture at the Bema Seat of Christ, where the believer's works will be judged. The Bible likens the work of believers to either the substance of wood, hay, and stubble, or gold and precious jewels, precious gems. And the difference between the first set of items and the latter set of items is that fire will consume the first set, but it will not consume the second set. And so a believer's works, not what they say, it's what they do. And this doing is one of the things that we are talking about doing in this verse is enduring temptation. And in those that endure temptation when he is tried, the Bible promises that you will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to them that love him. And this goes for all of us that love him. If you love him, we keep his commandments. And in the midst of the fiery trials of life that all of us are subject to, even the greatest prophetic person, the greatest anointed person, the greatest used person is subject to temptation, but we don't have to give in to it. And here James says, if you hold on in the midst of temptation and resist it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there's a crown for you. You can press. You can persevere. There is progress even through the pain. Let's go on to John chapter 16. Verse number 33. Again, this is John chapter 16, verse number 33. We're going to ask Sister Kiana Green to share that with us tonight in the name of the Lord. Please unmute yourself, Nora, and then read for us.
These things have been spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm excited about John chapter 16, verse 33, because it lets us to know that Jesus is very sensitive to what we're going through. The verse number 33, it speaks first of verses that were before that. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you. What I shared with you before are things that I wanted you to know, that in me ye might have peace. I think it's very important for us to understand where peace comes from. Peace is not in a paycheck. Peace is not in a pound of flesh. Peace is not in a person unless that person is Jesus. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. You've got to know where to put your hope in, where to put your confidence in. And one of the things that will allow you to persevere through the pain is to have your focus in the right place, to know where your peace comes from. There may be a cadre of folks around you, a host of people that applaud you, a ton of people that sing your praises, but peace comes from Jesus. It only comes from him who is the Prince of Peace. And with that as the foundation, he proceeds by saying, in the world. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. And that I want you to look at this verse. I want you to look at this verse very carefully, because this verse proposes that there's two places you can be in. There is one of two places you can be in. You can either be in Jesus, where there's peace. Look at the verse. Look at it carefully. It's telling us something if we look at it. Or in the world, and we'll have tribulation. But what I love about this dynamic is that for those that choose to be in Jesus, even though we're experiencing the world, we are in Jesus and are secure. Being spirit-filled does not exempt us from the experiences of life. It doesn't, there's a tremendous error where people presume to teach that the moment you get the Holy Ghost to speak in other tongues, that life is going to become this beautiful place and beautiful existence, and you won't have any more troubles. All your bills are going to be paid. You know, your children are going to be angels. Your spouse is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. You're going to live in a house on a hill. You're going to drive a fancy car. You're going to have a walk-in closet, a wall-to-wall walk-in closet. That's a room. And you're going to be able to pick out your clothes and all that kind of stuff. You'll have money flowing out of your ears. I mean, whenever you put materialism and attach that to the criteria for spiritual success, you're already off. Because it doesn't profit us anything to gain the world and lose our soul. To put our confidence in things that are temporary. Mm-mm. We've got to put our trust in Him. He says, in me, you will have peace. Period. In the world, you will experience tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so when I was reading this verse, I actually had envisioned myself being put into an object, maybe pouring yourself in a cup, if you will, and then being that cup being Jesus. And inside the cup, there's peace. And then the cup being placed in a space where that space is the world and all of the vicissitudes of the world, all of the issues of the world, the rains descend, the waves beat upon us, the winds blow boisterously and vehemently upon us. And and we go through stuff. But Jesus said, as long as you're in me, don't worry. I'm going to see you through it. I'm going to take you through it. You can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And as long as you're walking with Jesus, overcoming is a part of your experience. When we step away from the Lord and we allow other things to take precedence, that's where we begin to fail. Because failure is not in God. Tribulation is the experience that all of us will experience in the world. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Worldliness is a heap of hurt. I'm going to say that one more time. If you are in the world, and I'm not talking about in the geographical space. I'm talking about in the world mindset, in the world philosophy, in the world ideology. That is a heap of hurt, and it's not going to get any better, because all it's going to do is provide excuses for not living clean, excuses for not living right, excuses for not living godly. Jesus says, put your trust in me, and I'm going to bring peace in the midst of your storm. You will not be stopped. Oh, God. I just need somebody to put in the notes. The storm will not stop me. The storm will not stop me. In this world, we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let's go to Sister Green. Amen. Sister Jenny, we're going to ask her to read Psalm 34, verse 19. And I hope that you are putting this in your spirit. I hope you're taking notes, because this is not just for you to listen in your ear and for you to allow it to slip. This is what's going to cause you to stand. Amen. Sister Jennifer Green, Psalm 34, verse 19, please.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all.
I am so excited at the fact that the Lord is a deliverer. The Lord is a deliverer. I don't want you to think that God cannot finish what he started in your life. He has made you righteous through your repentance, your acceptance of water baptism in Jesus' name, and going on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. There's no option here. You can't negotiate out of this. This is unnegotiable. These are the terms. And if you want to be saved, these are the terms that God has offered. You must come by Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, I believe that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. But here the psalmist hearkens to us, even though this psalm begins with blessing the Lord. I think that it's powerful that verse 1 of this psalm, we go into this psalm with an attitude to bless the Lord. And I want to point that out. This psalm opens up with an I will bless the Lord at all times. It opens up with that. And by the time we get down to verse 19, we're experiencing affliction. I think that's very interesting because as you walk with God, the enemy is going to try to cause you to stop walking with God. He's going to throw adversity at you. And it can be in the form of a physical attack. It can be in the form of an emotional attack in terms of the area of your feelings. It can be a psychological attack. Your thoughts can be under attack. Your spirit can even be under attack. And here the psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Not some, not a few, but many. Disciples go through stuff. Disciples face hardships and sometimes perplexing circumstances. Yes, that happens. But God is there every time. His presence is the presence of deliverance. His presence is the assurance of deliverance. He rescues us out of all our troubles, out of all our afflictions, allowing us to progress. The presence of the Lord is your assurance that you can make it. You need to write that down. The presence of the Lord is your assurance that you can make it. You're not going to fail in this. You're not going to give up. I speak this over your life right now. The only time you should look back is to see how far you've come. Can I get a witness on the line tonight? I said, the only time you should look back is to see how far you've come. And I need somebody to make a note of this tonight. Put this in your notes. I've come so far. I've come so far. Take a moment to look back over where you were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You have not made it to where you are now because of giving up. The Lord has been by your side. And although, you know, again, Psalms 34, verse 1, and then the shift that takes place by the time we get to verse 19 is very reflective and indicative of the fact that while we may start this powerful experience walking with God on top of the mountain, there are times as we walk and it's time as we go through that it feels like the afflictions, the perplexities, the hardships, the difficulties, the troubles, all of this may seem insurmountable. But the Holy Ghost said, watch your mouth. Woo! You need to put this in your notes. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Because anytime you open your mouth to say that something is insurmountable, unless you go on to say, but God, you take God out of the picture. because there is nothing too hard for your God. Let's go through here. Psalms 119, verse 71. Sister Lowry, please take us there.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn of thy statutes.
You have to realize that sometimes you're going to be afflicted, not because of anything you've done wrong, but because of something that's going on right. The affliction comes. I mean, we just read the verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So the suffering is not always because of something you did. It could be because of something that's coming. Sometimes we suffer as evildoers. If you do something wrong, you suffer for it. You pay for it. You pay the price. And if you are being corrected, then you just got to deal with it. You may not like it, but you got to deal with it. The other side of the coin of afflictions is when you suffer for righteousness' sake. And anytime I'm suffering for righteousness' sake, it's not because of what I did. It's because of what's coming. Can I get a witness here? Lord, have mercy. I feel the Holy Ghost on the line. I said, when you're suffering for righteousness' sake, it's not because of what happened. It's because of what's coming. Hey, glory to God. Woo! It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There's some correction here. There's some guidance here. And the thing is, you got to pay attention to the decrees of God. You got to pay attention to God's word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want the word in my spirit so that my steps will be right. I can't have ordered steps if I refuse to listen to ordered word. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. My God, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I know I'm talking to somebody. You cannot live ordered steps if you are out of order with the word. You've got to get in order with the word. It is the word. It is the word. It is the word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so if God is going to use afflictions to teach me something, then I must be getting ready to go somewhere, because education is for those that want to move forward. Lord, have mercy. The prudent, the prudent, the learner, the student understands that learning will cost them something. To be a disciple of Jesus, it cost them their lives. And here the psalmist speaks to us that this is a good thing. To a good servant will learn from what they go through. They will learn, my God, they will learn, they will learn, they will learn. They will not fester in despair. They will not sit in disillusionment. And sometimes you actually have to tell yourself, God knows what's best. It's good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, this is not an easy thing to say, but you got to tell yourself that. If the Lord has allowed me to go through this, consider Job. Consider Job. Job went through 9 months of the worst experience on earth that anybody has ever experienced. But the Bible says that the Lord turned Job's captivity when he prayed for his friends. And God gave him twice as much. And Job was large and in charge in the very beginning of that book. But when God was through with Job, Job got twice as much for what he went through in holding on to God. It was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Use the experience to learn. Ask God, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? That's the spirit of progress. The way you respond to the experience will indicate whether you are moving forward, whether you are making progress, or whether you're making excuses. Let me tell you something. Progress always involves risk. There's always going to be a risk in progress. Look at what it cost Jesus to bridge the gap made by sin and bring us back to God. Jesus had to give his life to bring us back to God. Bringing us to God, bringing us back to God is the ultimate progress of what Christ has done for us, to reconcile man unto himself by the sacrifice of his son. This is what God did. The progress that he made to get that accomplished, and it cost, the cost was incredible, immeasurable. And the risk element is that even though he came unto his own, and his own received them not, but unto as many as would receive him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even with that, some people turned their backs on him. Talk about risk. God making himself available to us. I mean, and I'm going to put this, let me make this really clear. God became vulnerable to save you. He became vulnerable. He put himself in the form of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, and making an offer to you that was the greatest offer the world has ever known. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yet, there are some that turn their back on God. Let me tell you something. There are really only two options here. Either you're going to make progress or you're going to make excuses. Let's go on. We're going to go to Revelation. Amen. Hold on to your seat belt. We're going to go to Revelation 21, verse number 4. Dr. Marbury, please read that for us.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
There is going to come a time when all of this will be worth it for us. The Lord has given this to us in the book of Revelation. We are here now. This is the next to the last chapter in the Bible. The next chapter, chapter 22, is the last chapter in Revelations. This is the next to the last chapter in the Bible. If you look at this as a journey, if you will, from Genesis all the way through Revelations, there was a lot of tears. My God, my God. I just felt something there. I felt an unction in my spirit that there's tears. And even on this line, there are people that have shed tears. From the genesis of their experience, they have shed tears. They have shed tears throughout their experience, and sometimes they didn't even understand why. Why am I in this? Why am I going through this? Why me? Not to the extent to ask that question and then abandon your faith in God, but being challenged and being pressed so that it almost makes you wonder whether this is God or not. And sometimes what happens is people question themselves. They question, what have I done wrong? I must have done something wrong. I must have sinned somewhere. Or maybe this is something that I did in my teenage years that now God is getting me back for. This is something that I probably did when I was ignorant and young and didn't know no better. And I did some dumb stuff, because everybody on this line has done some dumb stuff. You've done some dumb stuff once or twice in your life. And sometimes we look back at those things to try to attempt to rationalize what we're going through. I've shared with you already that even the righteous suffer. Progressing through the pain doesn't mean that you have done something wrong. It just means that you are in a process that's taking you to a place in God that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you. But thank God here we are in the last book of the Bible, the next to the last chapter, and here we find these words, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, my God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. For the former things are passed away. They're done. They're done. They're gone forever. And so we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. This is where faith comes in. Practical faith. Not just talking a bunch of scriptures and quoting a bunch of verses or singing some songs and things of that nature. That's a part of it, but there's so much more to it, because we do shed tears. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to shed tears. But thank God, the Bible says he shall wipe away all tears. But I got news for you. He's wiping tears away right now. He's wiping tears away right now. And if you will let him put his hand on you, he'll wipe the tears away now. When it comes down to progressing through the pain, little by little, that little becomes a lot. And it may not seem like a lot when you're going through it, but I promise you, little by little, that little becomes a lot. God shall wipe away all tears. And I know there's somebody on this line right now that will say, Pastor Michael, he's doing that right now. He's wiping tears away right now. Let's put this, let's compare this. Let's put this in context. I'm going to ask Mother T to share for us Romans chapter 8, verse 18. This is the 12th verse in the list of 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Mother T, please.
Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
I reckon. Now that word reckon is an accounting term. That means I've counted up the cost here. I've done the math. Somebody put that in your notes. Do the math. When it comes down to the sufferings of this present time, do the math. It's not worthy to be compared to what's coming ahead of me. If I compare, you see, when you read through the book of Proverbs, there's a comparison and a contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness, between the wise and the foolish, between the industrious and the lazy, between the whorish and the virtuous. There is compare and contrast throughout the whole book. And I want to recommend everybody on this line to read the book of Proverbs, no matter what your reading plan is. If you are on a reading plan, I'm sure, you know, to read the Bible in the course of a year, I'm sure you'll get to it. If you are not, I want you to read Proverbs and the book of James. Proverbs is the Old Testament book of wisdom. James is the New Testament book of wisdom. And when you look at that book of wisdom in the Old Testament, Proverbs, there is a cost associated with unrighteousness, with a whorish attitude and disposition, with folly and being lazy. There's a cost to it. And sometimes people will suffer because of that. But in this text, Paul is talking about a future glory. He's not talking about loss or gain right now, but he's talking about what I go through now as an investment in my future. One of the things about having a job, it's not just about the paycheck, it's about the perks. It's about the benefits. You want to know, do I have life insurance? Do I have health insurance? Are there cost benefits or cost savings in terms of health care accounts where I can take out pre-tax money from my paycheck and put it on a card that can be used for healthcare issues so that it lowers my taxable income. There's a bunch of different benefits that you can get, you know, paid sick leave, you know, paid paternity leave or paid maternity leave. And so you don't just want to understand about the paycheck. You want to understand about the benefits. What benefits do I get out of this? And what Paul is saying here is my connection to Jesus doesn't only give me a paycheck right now. It gives me benefits in the future. I reckon that the sufferings, whatever I've got to go through concerning my faith walk, because this is a faith walk, y'all. This is not a game. This is not hide and go seek. This is not, you know, any of those little games that we play, hopscotch and skelly and, you know, RCK. You know, we used to play RCK when we were children. Some of y'all are too young. Y'all don't even know what RCK is all about. But we used to play all these games and whatnot. Salvation is not a game. It's a faith walk. And Paul is saying that when I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present are grievous, when I consider the fact, though they are grievous, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us, and even the glory that's going to be revealed to us. Oh, God, have mercy. Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, brethren, whom he did foreknow, them he also called. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You've got to understand that the Lord is with you, and even the going through is a measure of pressing glory out. Let me help you understand here. When you gather grapes, they serve a purpose as a grape, but when you crush it, it serves a greater purpose as wine. Olives, they serve a purpose as an olive, but when you crush it and you get the oil, there's an oil there. There is something in the crushing. Lord have mercy. There's something in the process of this faith walk. I'm talking about the faith walk. That what we go through as a believer, what we go through as a child of God, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed in us now and even later. Because right now, let me tell you something. There are some people in our circle that when you look at them, they don't look like what they've been through. Can I point out our First Lady as an example? Our First Lady, and I'm not saying this because she's my wife, is a beautiful woman. She has a beautiful smile. She's got nice cheeks. She's gorgeous. Glory to God. But if you saw her about 20 some odd years ago, you would never believe that this beautiful woman that you see today was this emaciated, sickly woman with her hair falling out, her skin color changing. Oh, my God. But look at God. Look at God. Some would have given up. Some would have thrown in the towel. But today, she is a witness that there is triumph through tribulation. And this is the glory we see right now. But there's another glory. God. I said, there's a glory we see now when we look upon her. And you see, the thing is, you've got to walk with me to know my glory. You've got to walk with her. You have to have walked with her to know what she really has on the inside. And it had to come through an experience of being virtually crushed. People look at her, they have no idea what she went through. The 13 operations, the 2 miscarriages, polycystic kidney disease, being stricken with Montezuma's revenge on our honeymoon. But look at God. The sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy. If I have to suffer, so be it. I'm going to make progress. I'm not going to give up. Though he slay me. Can I get a witness on the line? I'm trying not to preach this thing, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Though he slay me. I was reading Job a couple of days ago. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do I have a witness on this line? All the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change come. Let's go quickly. 2 Corinthians. This is the 14th verse. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I don't think we did. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We didn't do Romans chapter 8, verse 35. That's Sister Sutton. Thank you, Mother T. Verse 13 is Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Sister Denise Sutton, please read.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
When you read this verse and all these verses out of your mouth, you release power in your room. I'm going to say that again. And this is why I'm asking people to read it. Because when you read the word of God out of your mouth, you release that power in your room. You release that power in your room. There is no way that with God on your side, you can lose. You cannot lose. When God is on your side, God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us. I think I mentioned earlier that he became vulnerable. Embracing our sinful condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending Jesus to take our place on the cross. You should have been on the cross to die for your sins. I should have been on the cross to die for my sins, but God sent Jesus to take our place. If God did not hold back his best when we were at our worst, do you think he's going to hold back anything from you now that you are his child? When you were not his child, when you were his creation, but not his child, because see, God created everything. But you have to be born again to be a child of God. You're not a child of God because he created you, because God created all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. So God created all things. He's the creator of all things. But you are not his child until you are born again. This born again experience, the foundation of it is the sacrifice of Jesus. Without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. There's no remission of sin. There's no removal of it. And so the sin issue had to be dealt with before sonship. Oh, my God. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost on this line, y'all. God had to deal with sin before making us sons. He dealt with sin by giving Jesus up for us who was his son. And in so doing that, we became the chosen of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In light of all of this, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? When you wrap your head and wrap your heart around what God has done for you through Jesus, nothing can separate you. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, you got the list in front of you. It is prophetic that we as sheep are killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are regarded, This makes me leap and jump in my spirit, because God loves us so much that he proved it to the nth degree, so that nothing to the greatest degree can separate us from that love. His love, it was and is immeasurable, unconditional, without boundary, and sometimes even recklessly poured out upon us. In the context of the difficulties that we will go through, Paul said like this, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, and we gain an overwhelming victory through Jesus. Somebody ought to write that down in your notes. When you talk about more than conquerors, we're talking about overwhelming victory. And Paul then breaks it down. My mind's made up. I am convinced. I'm convinced, and I am continuing to be convinced. I'm not just convinced for a moment. I'm convinced every day. Glory to God. I'm convinced beyond doubt. There is just no doubt. Do I have anybody on the line that can say, there is no doubt? I may not know everything, but I have no doubt that God is able. I have no doubt that God loves me. I have no doubt that God can do everything but fail. I have no doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The love of God, based upon what Christ has done for us, it was shown. It was on display. And so this inseparable nature of God's love, as I embrace God, secures me through pain. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. Whatever it takes, I'm all in. Now, I got to let go of the time. I know we only have two verses. I'm going to share the verses with those that are on the line listening, and we're going to read it next week, but we got to pray. It's already a little after 8. The next two scriptures will be read by Junior Deacon Austin and Sister Hobby. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Again, that's what we're going to start next time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. I want you to understand, progress is your indifference to failure. Progress is your indifference to failure. In other words, I'm not going to allow failure to have more meaning than progress in my life. Can I get some? Who am I talking to on this line tonight? I'm not going to let failure have more meaning than progress. And if I've got to choose between the two, I will act indifferent to failure, because I'm going to make progress. You need to write that down. I'm going to make progress. Oh, God, my God, my God. Let's get ready for prayer. The Holy Spirit is on the line right now. And there are people who have been touched by the word of God tonight. And the word of God is speaking to you that you are going to make progress. It is possible to progress through the pain. It is possible to make progress through the pain. I'm going to ask our prayer leaders to prepare at this time. Our brother, representative of the brotherhood, representative from the sisterhood, representative from the youth department, praise the name of God. I am so honored and grateful to God that in this ministry, the Lord has charged me to develop a congregation of prayer warriors, not people that talk about prayer, but people that know how to get a prayer through. And this is for the young as well as the old. It's not something to be done once a person gets to a certain age. You need to know how to pray right now. We're going to step back and allow our prayer leaders to come and pray us through even tonight. Our men's representative can prepare themselves and unmute themselves. Our sisterhood representative to follow immediately afterwards. And then our representative from the youth department in the name of Jesus Christ, representing all areas of ministry, every kind of person and the soul experience, the challenges of life. Open up your hearts. And those of you that are not prayer leaders, you can open up your prayer heart and even pray in union, pray in agreement in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to ask our first prayer leader to start at this time, and we're going to go through our men first, our women, and then our youth in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Father, we love you. We glorify your most holy name, oh God. First, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you, oh God, for allowing us once again to come into your presence to hear what it is that you have for us to hear. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, oh God. You are great, and we thank you, oh God. A great God deserves great praise. And even tonight, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you tonight, oh God, for the word that we have heard, oh God. Thank you that, oh God, you can allow us to even get to the point where we can say that it was good for us, that we have been afflicted, that we might learn thy statutes. With everything that we have dealt with everything that we go through, we thank you that you even allow us to go through things so you can tell us that your grace is sufficient for us, that even in the time that we are weak, your strength is made perfect within us. You allow us to be weak so we can see the perfection of your strength. You allow us, oh God, to get to the point where our back is up against the wall so that we can only rely on you and you alone. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that even when we're in the fire, that we can depend on you, that you will show up in the midst of what we're dealing with. Thank you, Father, that we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but you will be with us even until the end of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you even said in your word, oh God, that you will be with us. And I thank you, Lord, that not only will you be with us, but thy rod and thy staff will comfort us. Thank you, Lord, that we are right there with you and you are right there with us, that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Thank you, Lord, that even through the vicissitudes of life and the things that we face, we understand that no weapon that is formed against us shall be able to prosper. Even while we're going through, we can say many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. We thank you. Even while we're going through, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you will be with us even until the end of the world. You said, oh God, that no weapon that is formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every lying tongue that shall rise up against us in the day of judgment, thou shalt condemn. Lord, we thank you that we don't even have to raise up a finger. We don't have to raise up a hand. We don't have to raise up a word against our enemies. But you said, set ourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord work for our behalf. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to fight our enemies. We don't have to fight against people that don't understand what's going on. We don't have to fight against people, Lord, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We thank you, Lord, that you are there right with us, because we understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. We pull down strongholds and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and casting down all imagination. We thank you, Lord, that your word is what we need. We stand on your word. No matter what situation we face, we stand on your word. No matter what trial we're going through, we stand on your word, oh God, because we understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, so I'm praying right now for every man that's dealing with the situation. Lord, open their eyes that they might see that them that are with us are more than them that are against us. We thank you that even the Egyptians that we see today, we shall see them no more forever. We shall conquer what you allow us to conquer. We thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you right now, Jesus, for your presence right now, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you right now for the struggle, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the tribulation, Lord God, for without the tribulation, Lord, there will be no glory, Lord God. You will not be able to get the glory out of our lives. So, Lord God, I thank you right now, Jesus. Lord, in all our ways, we acknowledge you, Lord God, and you shall direct our path. So, God, I thank you right now, Jesus, for directing our path right now, Lord God. Even in the time of trouble, Lord God, you said that you are our refuge, Lord God, our ever-present help in a time of trouble, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that we are able to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, Lord God. We can look to you, Lord God, when we are in trouble, Lord God. Even in the times, Lord God, where your hand is on us, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
For waking us up this morning and taking us through the day. Thank you for helping us process through everything we have been through. And thank you for being our deliverer and our happiness. And thank you for dying so we can live a happy and amazing life with you in our hearts and us being able to talk to you with everything we go through, good and bad. Amen.
Father, we bless your name tonight and we thank you for these precious hearts that have opened themselves to intercede for others. These individuals who have represented, Lord God, the gamut of those that are on this call, the experiences and the vicissitudes that challenge men, women, and young people. But tonight, Lord God, we stand with your word and we embrace it for ourselves to declare that nothing shall be able to separate us from your love. Lord, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I know that it's not easy. I know that sometimes it's hard. I know that sometimes it doesn't seem like progress is being made. But tonight we are standing in agreement and we declare over ourselves, we shall not die, but we shall live and we shall give testimony of your great works. We will declare the decree. Hey, God, whatever you have said it, Lord, we will underscore it. We will repeat what you say. We won't die, but we'll live. We're not going to be defeated, but we will overcome. No, we are more than conquerors with overwhelming victory. And even though we must suffer, we have armed ourselves likewise with the mind of Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, who thought it not robbery to come in the form of sinful flesh and for sin. He made himself a little lower than the angels to be able to become the redemption for mankind. To be able to feel the pain and to go through the experiences. Oh, God, we love you for Jesus. We thank you for what he's done for us, how he took our place and bore our sins. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Everything that was messed up about us, he took it it upon himself. And tonight we celebrate Jesus. We celebrate what Christ has done. Lord God, our hearts are overwhelmed by the love that you have displayed. And when we consider what you did for us, how you loved us so, we are reminded, oh God, that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it. Lord God, we are not going to be those that turn back. No, we're not going to be those that take our hands off the gospel plow. No, we're not going to go back. It's onward ever and backward never. Lord God, tonight we come in covenant agreement and we make this declaration that we will follow you, Lord. Oh, we will go the way of righteousness. We will commit ourselves to your principles and to the practice of holiness. We will embrace the word of wisdom and be those, Lord God, not with a froward mouth, but Lord God, we will be those who are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will follow where you lead us. We will pasture where you feed us. We will follow all the way, Lord. Yes, we will follow Jesus every day. And so, Lord God, I pray over this group. I pray over these men and women and young people. I pray over these worship warriors. I pray over these prayer leaders. I pray over these great people that you have ordained for life. Ah, God, no matter what the enemy tries to do, Lord God, your word stands forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word shall not pass away. And while many are the afflictions of the righteous, we thank you that you are the God that rescues us. You are the God that stretched forth your hand. And even though the sufferings of this present time seem insurmountable and see beyond the measure that we can bear, Lord, we thank you that it cannot be compared to the glory that we shall experience. Hallelujah. Go ahead and have your way with us. Go ahead and do what you want to do with us. Go ahead and open doors and we'll go through. Go ahead and close doors and we'll stand still. Go ahead and work your mighty work through us. And even if we have to go through pain, even if we have to go through suffering, we know that the same way you wiped our tears in the past, that you will wipe our tears in this present moment. Hey, God, you wiped our tears before, and you will keep wiping our tears because you're God who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so, Lord God, if you call us to holiness, then holiness it is. If you called us unto separation, Lord God, from sin, then from separation, separation from sin it is. If you call us, Lord God, unto lives of righteousness, then Lord God, so be it. Lives of righteousness, life of righteousness is what we shall live. Lord God, we accept this call that you have placed upon us. We accept, Lord God, that we will go through experiences. And Lord God, while it may not seem pleasant at the time, Lord God, we know that it is working for us a far more excellent and exceeding weight of glory. And so, yes, we will bless you at all times. And even right now, we'll bless you. We'll bless you for the healing. We'll bless you for the healing in advance. We'll bless you for the promotion in advance. We'll bless you for salvation in advance. We'll bless you, Lord God, for souls coming to you, even souls right now that may be on this line that need to choose you above all others. Lord God, we thank you in advance that they are making the choice. We come against every hindering spirit that will block their progress, that will stop them from coming to you. We bind the hand of the oppressor. We come against the plans of Satan. And we ask, Lord God, that you will dispatch warrior angels on behalf of those who trust you. Lord God, dispatch warrior angels now, even to fight back the powers of the devil, Lord God. Ah, God, let your anointing anointing destroy yokes. Lord God, some minds need to be renewed. Some minds have been gone in the wrong direction, embracing contrary thoughts. And Lord God, tonight I ask that you will purify the hearts and minds of everyone on this line, that they may know that there is no failure in you, that they don't have to give up, that little by little, a little becomes a lot. Hallelujah. Every step forward gets them closer to their goal. And even if it's a small step, even if it's a baby step, even if it's just a little step, they're getting closer every day. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that it shall be done in 21. Yes, Lord, according to your word, we speak unto the mountain that it be removed and be thou cast into the sea. And we shall not doubt in our heart, but we shall believe that those things that we have said shall come to pass. We know that we will have whatsoever we say. And so tonight we declare that the mountain be removed and be cast into the sea. And we accept the fact that it shall be done in 21. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you all now. In the matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Please feel free to unmute yourself and give your God some praise. Feel free now to unmute yourself and give your God some praise. Come on, come on. Let your expectation be shown in your praise. 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 Yes. Time to give up. The Lord is with us. He shall not be defeated. The Lord is with us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord is with us. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Breathe on us right now in the name of Jesus. Just have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way right now, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. All I say, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All I say, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. My house, Lord, I bless you. Over our children, God be praised. Over our health, Lord God, be praised. Shall be done. Our treasure, Lord God, it shall be done. Over our ministry, Lord God, it shall be done.
Hallelujah.
Father, we bless your name tonight and thank you. Thank you for this time and your presence, for your word and for this worship, for the prayer and for the faith. For Lord God, we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We speak greatness into the hearts of your children because you are a great God and you are worthy of a great praise. Our lives are lived for your glory. Get the glory out of our lives. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. The recording will come to an end at this time. And by the grace of God, we will look forward to seeing you next time. Either we'll be together here or we'll be together in heaven. Either way, we'll be where God wants us to be. God bless you and have a good night.